excited about being in the house of the Lord? If you are, give him a hand clap of praise. Not as close as I could be, but I'm so glad this is where I'm at this morning. Amen.
Amen.
And I want to minister to you out of the book of Acts, chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 28, verses 1 through 5. If you're able, please stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. And I'll begin reading here in Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 1. It says, "And when they were escaped, when they knew that the isle, or island that was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heap and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm." Bow your heads, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, that in the midst of every situation, in the midst of every trial, in the midst of every difficulty, Lord, you are still faithful. You're still true. You're still on your throne and you still rule. And Lord, we're just thankful that we can put our trust completely in you. And we don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid, because we know that you're with us, Lord, and you'll strengthen us. You'll give us just what we need. So I pray right now, Lord, for everyone under the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that they would have ears to hear, hearts to receive what you would say to them this morning. I pray that you would minister to them at their point of need. Lord, anoint me that I might preach your word. We give this service to you, and we ask that you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name, for the church, say amen. Going to continue. As I said before, I never intended on doing a series on times of trouble, but that's where God has led me, and that's where we've kind of stayed for a while, and I'm going to continue with what God has given me here with this thought of, in times of trouble, shake the devil off. You know, Dorothy Norwood wrote a gospel song. I don't know if you've ever heard it, but it's entitled "Shake the Devil Off," and I thought about that as God brought me to this scripture this week and gave me this message. I thought about the song she sings entitled "Shake the Devil Off." Sometimes in our lives, we are going to be under attack by the devil. But there's one good truth that we can know, is that we have the power through Jesus Christ to shake him off. And that's what I want to minister to you about this morning, because the enemy is strategic. He knows when and how to attack you. He studied you. And he's going to attack you when you're tired. He's going to attack you when you're in a time of trouble many times, because you're weak. Sometimes you're battling discouragement. Sometimes you're battling with your faith. And he likes to attack us in our weakest moments. If you look here in the scripture, just to give you a little background on what was going on here, it all kind of began in Acts chapter 22. Because in Acts chapter 22, Paul was arrested. And they arrested him and they brought him before the council and went through some different council meetings there. And before long, he was brought before the court there, before the governor. And he defended himself against the charges that were brought against him. He knew the law. He was well versed in the law. And he knew how to defend himself based on Roman law. And he did quite a good job. And he could have just walked away from that and said, "You know what? I'm going to go do my thing now because I'm free." But he didn't do that, because he felt impressed by God. He felt a pricking in his spirit. See, his desire was to minister the gospel. And so when Paul came to this point, instead of just saying, "Okay, let me go," he said, "I want to speak to Caesar. I want to speak to the emperor of Rome. I plead to speak before him." He knew his rights. He knew he could do that. He didn't have to do that, but he did it, and he did it for this to Caesar, to the most powerful man in Rome, and he said, I'm not going to pass this opportunity up. I don't care what I got to go through. I don't care how long it takes. Take me to Caesar, because I want to talk to him. I want to share Jesus with Caesar. And so that's what he did. He said, take me to him. And he ended up on a boat there, and he told the people, he said, guys, this is not a good time to go out. We need to wait a little while. And they didn't listen very well. They went on anyway. And the scripture says they went out into the sea, and here comes the devil. Here comes the storm to try to stop what God was wanting to do through Paul. And the storm comes up. He goes through the storm. And it gets so bad that they start tossing stuff off the ship just to try to survive. They toss all their cargo off the ship. So here are all these men. He's on this ship with all these men. Some of them prisoners. People with Rome, with the Roman Empire. And they're on this ship. They've tossed everything, all their cargo, all their food overboard. They're battling the wind. They're battling the rain. They're battling the storm. They're getting tired. They're getting more weak. They're getting weaker and weaker. The storm's getting stronger and stronger. The people are starting to lose heart. And then the Lord sends an angel to Paul. Hold on. Bear with me. I'm laying the groundwork. We're going somewhere, okay? But the angel comes to Paul and tells Paul, look, don't worry. Don't be afraid, Paul. You are going to go before Caesar. This thing is ordained of God. You're going, but you're going to have to go through the storm. But you're going to make it, and everybody on the ship's going to make it. So take heart. Don't be afraid. You're going to go through this storm, but you're going to be shipwrecked on this island. And so Paul goes to the people, and he said, guys, I know you're tired. I know you're weak, but we're going to make it. That's the good news. But let me tell you the rest of the story here, guys. We're going to be shipwrecked on an island. And that's exactly what happened. They get shipwrecked on the island. They get to the island. They're hungry. They're tired. They're cold. They get on that island, and these people accept them. They're kind to them. They build them a fire to give them some heat, some warmth in the cold and in the rain. Maybe let them get some food in their belly, cook some food. I don't know. But they built them a fire. And the scripture says that they were there warming themselves by the fire, coming through this storm. Paul was tired. Paul was weak. I'm sure physically in his body he wanted to lay down and go to sleep. It was a time when he wanted to probably just refresh himself. And the enemy saw an opportunity to get him, to attack Paul. And that's exactly what he did. They said Paul was sitting there by the fire. And he didn't just sit there. He got up because he wanted to keep the fire going. And that's a sermon in and of itself, maybe for another time. But Paul didn't just sit there by the fire. He got up because he said, we're going to keep this fire going. And so he got up and started gathering sticks and things for the fire. And the scripture says that as he began to cast it into the fire, that a venomous snake come out and latched on to his hand in that moment, in that time of weakness. And I want you to notice, first of all, the people. Now buckle up, because this is the turbulent part, but we're going to get, there's some good stuff in here. Y'all quiet. There's some good stuff in here. We're going to get to it. And I pray that you shout before we over, but this is the turbulent part, so hang on. But I want you to notice the people. Now the people, they offer nothing. The devil latched on to Paul. The venomous snake latched on to Paul, and yes, I believe it was a direct attack of the enemy, latched on to Paul. And the people offered nothing but their opinions and ideas. Listen to me now. This is the turbulent part. We're going to get through it. Just latch on. Buckle up. And these people were unsaved people. So you can't expect unsaved folk to help you when you do battle with the enemy, right? So one thing you need to understand before we even get started is that when you do battle with the enemy, there are going to be times when the Lord will send you some people to help you, but there are going to be times when you have to battle the devil all by yourself. It's just you and God. And Paul, it was just him and God. These people were not saved. These people didn't know God. But here's the sad part. A lot of times it happens this way in church too, and it shouldn't be. But a lot of times it does. The people sat there, they didn't offer anything. don't be a commentator and a spectator. I've been guilty of it too. I can say, as I point, there's 4 points back at me, or three, as some would say, just based on how you do your thumb, right? But don't be a spectator and a commentator when people are doing battle with the enemy. Because there's times when people need you. Amen. In the house of God. God has created us. You know, Scripture said, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. God has created us where when we come together in unity and we fight the devil together, when we link arms and go to battle together, there is power in that.
Amen.
But God has not called us to be spectators and commentators. And a lot of times if we're not careful, we can be that way. When God has called us to be participators. Now listen, the devil will whisper in your ear and he'll say, there's nothing you can do. You're not a leader. You're not a preacher. You're not somebody who, maybe you say, well, I physically can't do what I once could. And that's completely understandable. But you know what you can do? You can pray. You know what you can do? You can tell somebody about Jesus. You know what you can do? You can invite somebody to come to church and hear the Word of God. We can all, everybody in this sound, under the sound of my voice, is able to do that. Can we agree on that? Amen. And if we would just do what we could and not dwell on what we can't, you would be amazed at what God could take and do with just that.
Amen.
Just that little bit that you say, you know what? There's a lot I can't do, but I can do this. And you know what? Some of the most some of the people that made the biggest difference in my life, they never stood behind a pulpit. They never held a position in the church. But you know what they did? They encouraged. They prayed. They ministered to me in times of trouble. When I was battling with the enemy, they come up beside me and they said, brother, I'm here with you. We're going to fight this devil together. They linked arms with me when I was tired. They encouraged me when I was down. They prayed for me and lifted me up in prayer when I needed the Lord's help. And that's what God has called us to do. Don't be a spectator and a commentator. Listen, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions, but our opinions don't mean squat. God knows everything. And His ways are higher than our ways. Listen, if God don't reveal it to me, I don't know. But He knows. We need to link arms and come together. Be a participator. Offer help. These people didn't offer Paul any help. They couldn't. But we can offer each other help, church. We can pray. We can tell each other about Jesus. Or we can tell the lost about Jesus. We can encourage people to come to church. And we can be a refreshment to others when they're in their battle. Listen to me. Do you know what Jesus said in Mark 9:41? He said, listen, if someone just gives you, He's talking to the disciples now. He says, if somebody just gives you a cup of cold water to drink in my name, He said, I'm going to reward them. They're not going to lose a reward. They're going to get a reward. In other words, what Jesus was saying, if somebody is just a refresher, just refreshes you, I'm going to bless them for that. Look, we can refresh other people who are in the battle. We can be an encouragement to them. I think about Aaron and Hur when Moses was up on the hill in Exodus chapter 17. Listen, if you read Exodus chapter 17 there, Moses had brought the children of Israel. They were out. God had used Moses to lead them out of Egypt. And God had freed them, and they got to a place in the wilderness where they were thirsty and they wanted water. And the Scripture says there that they did like some people do. They started criticizing Moses. Yes, Moses, as great of a man as he was criticized. Amen. And the word that's used there is chide. It says they chided him. Now, I don't know if you understand what that word means. But that's not a, oh golly gee, Moses, I'm a little thirsty, I'd like a little water right now.
No.
That word chide is like, we fix to throw down if you don't give me some water right now. That word chide is, I'm going to get up in your face. We might have a little altercation if you don't give me some water. In fact, Moses, when he prayed, he said, Lord, you got to show me what to do because these people are about ready to stone me. That's the kind of criticism he was under at the time.
children of Israel would prevail. But when he got tired, he said, I can't do it no more. I'm tired. All of a sudden, the enemy would prevail. And the scripture said there that Aaron and Hur, they began to see Moses get tired. And you know what they did? You know what they did? They said, we're going to hold you up, brother. We're holding up your arms because we're going to win this battle. Well, I know you're tired, but you're going to make it. I know you're tired, but we're going to get through this because we're holding you up. We're lifting you up. Be a refreshment to somebody else who's fighting in the battle. Listen, you may not can fight on the front lines, but you can be a refreshment to someone who is. You may not be the leader, but you can hold up his arms in prayer. You can hold up his arms in encouragement. You can say, I'm going to hold you up. We don't make it to the 7th heaven. Because Moses, if you go down, we all go down. We got to hold each other up. We're in this battle together, church. We're in this thing together. And it ought not to be that way that we sit back and we watch somebody else fighting. And we give our commentary. And we say, oh, well, they might want to do that. They shouldn't have done that. No, you get up and you lift them up in prayer. You be a refreshment to them. You encourage them. You may not can fight the battle, but you can lift up their arms in prayer. Amen. Now you can unbuckle. Amen. Amen. But Paul didn't have anybody to stand in agreement with him. All he had was commentators and spectators. And he had to do battle with the enemy all by himself, just him and God. But listen to me, when you have to do battle with just you and God, one with God is a majority.
Amen.
One with God is always a majority. And you can shake the devil off in the midst of any attack of the enemy. And you need to shake him off. Don't let him latch on and stay there, because there's people that's watching you, and those people were watching him. They were unsaved folk, but guess what? Through the power of God, he shook that snake off into the fire. And that very hand that the snake bit, he used those hands later on to lay it on them and heal them and minister the gospel to them. He kept walking in faith and he kept letting God use him. I don't believe he said, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? No, I believe he just said, I believe he just went. I don't even believe he gave the enemy a dignified response. I believe he just went. And just kept on going because he knew the word that God had already given him through the angel. You're going before Caesar. You're going to make it. There is a divine call. You are going through this. You're coming out. And he wasn't worried about what was going on. He just knew what God was going to do. And he had faith in God. And he held on to what God had told him. Got to shake the devil off because people are watching you. The people are watching you. There's unsaved folk that's watching you that won't ever say they're watching you. They're not going to say, no, I'm watching you. But they're watching you.
Yeah.
And you know what else they're doing? They're listening to you.
Yeah.
And the words that come out of your mouth and the response you give to the attack of the enemy can either be a ministry to other people, or it can be an obstacle and a hindrance to other people based on what you do with what the enemy does in your life. Some of the greatest testimonies will come out of some of your biggest battles and attacks. Some of your greatest ministries will come out of some of your deepest and darkest valleys and deepest attacks of the enemy, if you allow God to use you in the midst of it. See, the devil wants to stop you. And he used the viper to try to stop Paul. Paul was getting ready to do the work of God. Paul was on a journey. God was taking him somewhere. And the enemy used that snake to try to attack him. And I believe it was attacking the enemy. I believe the devil was using that snake. You know, the Bible oftentimes refers to the snake as the devil. In the Garden of Eden, who did Satan use to try to attack and to hinder and tempt and get Adam and Eve to fall? He used the snake. If you read in Revelation, you'll read scriptures there where it refers to Satan as that old serpent, the devil. I believe it's in Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20:2. He says that old serpent, the devil. So I believe the devil was using the snake. Yes, I do. But it doesn't matter if the devil was in that snake or if it was just a snake that bit him. The only thing that mattered is that God had sent him on a journey. And God had a work for Paul to do. And he was not going to be distracted. He was shake him off. Now let me tell you something. Now let me make this point. Not every attack, not everything you go through, not everything you go through is a direct attack of the enemy. Alright? You wake up with a tummy ache, that don't mean the devil's attacking you. It might be that pizza you ate before you went to bed. You wake up with a flat tire, don't mean the devil's attacked you. You may have just run over a nail. Amen? Not everything you go through is a direct attack of the enemy, but sometimes the devil does attack us. And we got to recognize it and shake him off. 2 Timothy 3 and 12 tells us that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. When you start living for God, the enemy is going to attack you. He's going to do it. And he's going to try to stop you. That's his goal. That's what he wants to do. Look, the enemy don't get a thrill out of making you have a bad day. That's not what gets the enemy going. He's not attacking you because he wants to see you cry. That's not what gets the devil going. The devil is attacking you and I to try to stop us from doing what God has put us here to do. That's why he attacks you. And listen to me. If you got breath in your lungs and you're sitting here today, it's because God has still got something for you to do. If God was through with you, he'd take you on to glory and you could be on streets of gold singing the praises of Zion right now. But God's still got something for you to do. That's why you're here. You say, well, I don't know what I can do. We just talked about that. Go back and listen. Pray. Refresh. Encourage. Amen. But if you're still here, God's got something for you to do. You can tell somebody about Jesus. God's still got something for you to do if you're here, and the enemy's going to try to stop you. But we need to understand that the victory's already won.
Amen.
The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. The devil is already defeated. Anytime the devil attacks, he's already defeated. Look, his bark is bigger than his bite. He may roar like a lion, but Jesus took his teeth. He don't have a bite on him. All he can do is make a lot of racket. All he can do is try to get you to... Look, this is how the devil operates. He's a master illusionist. Because, see, he has no power over you if you're a child of God. So what he has to do is to get in your head and get you to doubt what God has said. And through your unbelief, that's how the enemy gets a hold of us. We got to have faith in God. Listen, we need to know who we're fighting. We need to understand who we're fighting, and we need to understand that he's a defeated foe. Revelation 12 and 11 says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb gives us power over the enemy. He is defeated because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He has no power over us. We've been made more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. You are not the tail. You're the head. You are not below. You are above. You are victorious through Jesus Christ. And you need to know that when you fight the enemy this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to understand the strategy of the devil and not give him place in our lives. Listen, first of all, what's the scripture say? The devil is a liar. Look at what someone said. The devil's a liar. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said this. Jesus said, look, Jesus said, he's not just a liar. He's the father of all lies. And so guess what he's going to do? He's going to whisper his lies to you. He's going to try to spread his lies and get in your head. He's going to try to do like he did with Adam and Eve. He's going to try to tell you that God is holding out on you. There's something better out there for you than what God has given you. He's going to try to spread his lies because he's a liar. The devil is not only a liar, but he's a thief. John 10 and 10, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And guess what the devil wants to do? Through his lies and deceit, he wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your faith in God. He wants to get you to the place where you're discouraged, where you're downcast, where you say, it's never going to happen. I'm never going to make it. It's over. He wants to destroy you through his lies. He wants to steal your joy and your faith and your peace. Don't let him do it. Shake him off this morning.
Amen.
Not only that, the devil is an accuser. he'll accuse us to God, but guess what he also does? He accuses God to us. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean, he'll come to you and he'll accuse God to you. If God loves you so much, if God is so good, then why are you going through what you're going through? If God loves you so much, and God is so good, why are you struggling just to make ends meet every week? If God is so faithful, and God is so good, why did your spouse walk out on you? If God is so faithful, and God is so good, why are you so sick? The enemy will spread his lies and deceit. He wants to steal everything he can from you. He wants to accuse God to you to try to get you to doubt him so that he can grab hold of you and latch on to your life. The devil wants to latch on to your life. He wants to latch on to your family. He wants to grab hold of you, and he wants to destroy you because that's his goal. He wants to stop what God wants to do in your life. Don't let him do it, church. Shake him off. Look at someone and say, shake him off. I want you to notice Paul here, because the devil attacked Paul right after he come through a storm. He had just come through a storm. He was tired, I'm sure. He was hungry, I'm sure. He was weak. And the devil will attack you at your weakest moments. He'll attack your body. He'll attack your mind. He'll attack your spirit. He'll attack your family. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your health. He'll attack anything he can attack to get you to turn your back on what God has called you to do, to get you to walk away from what God has for you. He'll do anything he can to stop you from doing the work of God and say, I quit. I can't do it anymore. The devil's not scared of you, and he's not scared of me. You hear me? He's not scared of you. There's nothing about you that scares the devil. Not scared of you. And you can't fight him on your own power. And a lot of times we try to do it ourselves. And that's when we get in trouble. Because the devil's not scared of you. But there is one that he is scared of. And his very name, chills go down his spine. At his name, demons tremble and flee. At his name, every knee has to bow and every tongue has to confess that he is Lord. And that name is Jesus Christ. And the devil ain't scared of you and he ain't scared of me, but he's scared of Jesus. And when we understand that the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's, we can shake him off, because greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I don't have the power, but he does. And because he is in me, he transfers that power. And I'm a vessel that carries it. Because I am connected to Jesus. And because he's in me, greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world. I make more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. I can shake him off, church. Shake off the devil. He wants to infiltrate your mind. He wants to get you to fear. He wants to get you to operate in unbelief. You say, how do I shake the devil off? That sounds real good. And you know, when I used to play sports, maybe some of you other people did too. I know Brother Don did. When you fell down a lot of times and you knocked the breath out of him, you knocked the breath out. A lot of times the coach come by and say, shake it off, son, shake it off. And sometimes when I'm saying shake the devil off, you can almost think that, you know, that sounds kind of indifferent and cold, like you don't care. But I'm not saying it out of indifference or coldness. I'm telling you that you have the power to shake the devil off this morning. You don't have to give him an inch. The only thing that the devil has in your life is what you allow him to have. He has no power. Some of y'all don't believe that. I can tell by the way you're looking at me. The devil has no power over a child of God. The only power he has is the power you give him. And listen, you can take authority over him. You can shake him off. How do I shake the devil off, preacher? That sounds real good. Break it down for me. Okay, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Because you can shake him off. You can shake him off by exercising your faith in God. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I mean by exercising your faith in God, doing what God has called you to do despite what the devil does. Listen, Paul shook the devil off. He did not respond to the devil other than to shake him off. He didn't allow the enemy to hinder him. He just shook him off and kept doing what he was doing. Look, if you want to shake the devil off, Keep doing what you're doing. You say, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Don't worry about how you're going to make it. Just do what God's told you to do. Shake him off. Keep operating. You say, break that down for me a little more, preacher. Well, let me tell you something. How do I shake the devil off when he's attacking my health? Well, I'll tell you how I did it. I've given this testimony again, so I'll try to make it short. Some of you already heard it. But listen, I was the sickest in my life one year, probably about 10, 12 years ago. Probably about 12 years ago, I got the flu, and I was sicker than I've ever been. And just go tell you that maybe I exaggerate things, but I was really sick. I was really sick. And it went on about 2 weeks. I was like in the bed running a fever. I mean, and finally I was praying. I was seeking the Lord. I said, Lord, am I going to die? Is this it? Is this the end of me? And I laid there for a little while, and I felt the Lord speak to me. Lord spoke to my spirit, and he said, get up, get dressed, do what you were going to do tonight. You're healed. Now I want you to get up, and I want you to proclaim your healing, because I was supposed to get up and be a part of the service, and I had already told him I couldn't do it. I was sick. And he said, you call him back, you tell him you're going to be there, that you're healed. And I called him up, and I said, I'm healed. I sounded like some kind of hurt creature, so I don't know what it was, maybe Darth Vader or something. I sounded terrible. And they, you know, trying to be nice, said, are you sure, brother? I said, I'm healed, I'm coming. And I got up and I did what God told me to do. Now listen, when I got up and put my clothes on, I didn't no more feel healed than a man in the moon. I did not feel good. When I got to the service, I did not feel good. You know what I felt? You know what? But when I got up there behind the pulpit and I got the mic in my hand and I said the words, I am healed. In the name of Jesus, I tell you, as the Lord is my witness, there's something that took place in me, and that sickness left, and my voice came back, and I was never sick with that anymore. The fever left, and I was completely healed from it, but it took me doing what God told me to do. I did not allow the enemy to stop me from doing what God had told me to do. You're going to shake the devil off? You keep doing what God has told you to do, and you leave the results to him. You say, preacher, how do I shake the devil off when he comes at me in my finances? You keep doing what God's told you to do. You exercise your faith. You keep paying your tithes and offerings, and you put your faith in God, and God will come through. But a lot of times the enemy wants to attack us, and we stop exercising our faith, and we start operating in fear and unbelief. Don't respond to your feelings. Respond to God's word. Listen to me, church. We've got to respond to God's word. How do I shake the devil off when I have problems in my relationship with other people? Do what God has told you to do. Exercise your faith. What has God told you to do? Pray for them. Love them. Show them love. Forgive them. And you keep doing what God has told you to do. Listen. When the devil attacks you, shake him off. How you shake him off? Exercise your faith. You just keep doing what God has told you to do. That's how you exercise your faith. It's nothing spectacular. I'm just going to keep walking in what God has called me to walk in. And the results are up to God. That's a good feeling when you know the results are up to God. I'm doing my part, Lord. I'm a co-laborer with you. I'm doing my part. Now you're going to do yours, and I'm trusting. You shake the devil off by doing what God has told you to do. By not responding to what's going on in fear and unbelief and pulling back. Because when we draw back, the scripture said, my soul will have no pleasure in those that draw back. We can't draw back. We've got to move forward into what God has called us to do. We've got to exercise our faith. Paul went through a lot of stuff, but you know what he said? He said, look, none of these things move me. In other words, I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through. You know what Paul said? He said, now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. You know what he's saying there? He said, look, I'm going to Jerusalem to minister and do the work of God. And I don't know what's fixing to happen to me. The only thing I do know is that the Holy Ghost has made it plain to me that I'm going to be afflicted and I'm going to be put into bonds. the grace of God. Look, I know that bonds and afflictions await me. I don't know the whole story, but I know the Holy Ghost has made it plain that I'm going to be afflicted and I'm going to be thrown into prison. But it's not going to stop me. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other. I'm going to exercise my faith. I'm going to shake the devil off. And I'm going to do what God has told me to do. Listen to me, church. The Lord is going to say something to some of you this morning. You say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. Don't worry about the outcome. Don't worry about the result. You do what God has told you to do. And leave the results up to Him. You say, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? You're going to get through it by exercising your faith. You're going to do what God has told you to do, one step at a time. Little by little, inch by inch, God is going to take you through the valley. And when the enemy attacks, you can shake him off because God is faithful and just. He'll do what he said he would do, church, but you got to exercise your faith. Now, I can hear some of you saying, well, preacher, pastor, I hear you talk. But Job, pastor, but Job, Job was a righteous man. He was, God bragged on him, pastor. Said that he was perfect in his day. He bragged to the devil about Job. And Job's life went on hold when he went through what he went through. When the devil attacked him. And you're right. You're right. But let me share with you a thought here. Because Job did not have the access to what you and I have. Job did not have access to the things that you and I have access to. He did not have access to the power that you and I have access to. You know what the scripture said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Job didn't have access to that power. You know what Jesus said? The disciples in Luke chapter 10 verses 17 through 20. Jesus sent out those 70 disciples, two by two. And they come back and boy, were they excited. Because God was moving. And they said to Jesus, they said, even the devils are subject to us, Lord, through thy name. And Jesus said to them, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Say that one. Over all the power of the enemy. The Lord has given you the power. All the power over the enemy. The enemy has no power over you except what you yield to him. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice, rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Listen to me. You say, Job went through things, and boy, he sat down scraping himself. He stopped. His whole life come to a screeching halt. And that is true. But you have access to power. Dunamis power. You know what that word? And when that word power in the New Testament is translated from the Greek. And yes, the New Testament was written in the Greek. Okay? It's dunamis. And that's the same word that they get dynamite from. God has given his children dynamite power. You have access to that. Now, what you do with it is up to you. And the way you have access to it is through faith in Christ. But you have access to dunamis power. And a lot of times, our lives come to a screeching halt. Just like Job, because we don't access the power that God has made available to us. So when the enemy wants to stop you, he's going to come at you, and he's going to attack you. And if you don't access the power and shake him off, then you're going to stop right there. And guess what? That's what he wants. He wants to stop you. He wants you to sit down and say, you know what? I think I'll spectate and commentate a little while. I've had my fill. That's what he wants. He wants to stop God's work in you and through you. And you got to keep walking in faith. You got to trust God. And when the enemy tries to stop you, you got to shake him off and keep moving into what God has for you. took you through the storm yesterday. He'll take you through the attack of the enemy today. He's still faithful. He's still true. And I know the devil don't take a day off, but my God doesn't either. And he's faithful. All we got to do is put our trust in him. Listen, he didn't bring you this far to leave you right now. He didn't bring you through the storm to let you die. After on the other side, he's taking you somewhere, and you need to grab hold of your faith in this moment in your life, and you need to shake the devil off and walk into what God has for you in faith. You say, you know, people come to you when they're going through things, when they're going, sometimes it's attack of the enemy, sometimes it's bad choices. Maybe they're going through the valley and God's trying to grow, but people come to you and this is what they want. They want you to break it down for them. Pastor, give me a formula. 1 + 2 = 3, and everything's okay. I can't do that for you. I can't give you a formula, and all of a sudden you get the desired answer, or you get the answer that you expect. That's not how it works. That's not faith. What I can tell you is this. If you'll do what God has told you to do, don't worry about everybody else, because there's going to be times when people say a lot of things. You can't worry about the opinions of man. You can't listen to everybody either. Job had to learn that the hard way. You've got to focus on the Lord, and you've got to walk where he told you to walk, and you've got to do what he told you to do. And if you'll do that and not allow the enemy to stop you, let me tell you something. When you come through this thing, God's got a blessing and a reward for you, but you've got to keep walking. You can't sit down and say, I give up. I can't do it. I give up. It's too hard. That's what the enemy wants you to do, church. Don't let the devil steal your praise. Don't let him steal your joy. Don't let him latch on and grab hold of you and bog you down with the spirit of heaviness. You cast that devil off. You shake him off. And you put on the garment of praise. And you begin to worship the Lord. And you say, I know that I know that I know that you're faithful and true, God. And I'm going to keep walking in what you have for me. I don't care what anybody else thinks about it. I don't care what anybody else says about it. I don't care how I feel in my body right now. I don't care what I see tells me. I know what the Word of God says. And I know that you're faithful. I'm hanging on to your Word. And I'm going to keep walking where you told me to walk. I'm not going to let the enemy stop me by attacking me. I'm going to shake him off. And I'm going to keep doing what God has told me to do. Look at someone and say, shake him off. Shake that devil off. Some of you said it. Amen. But God is faithful. Let me tell you something. We can't. God can. God can. And if you'll put your faith in him and you'll do what he's told